the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you. As Christine so kindly said at the start, my name is Derek, and I was here for many years. There's lots of faces I don't know, which is just absolutely fantastic. We've been gone 8 years, and the fact the church is growing and new folks are arriving is amazing. I used to be an RE teacher when I started my working life. I was an RE teacher down at Exmouth Community College, and I taught there for 4 years. And we used to teach, we called it rites of passage, and it was the big moments in life that different religions mark in different ways. And as part of that course, we showed a video of a full immersion baptism like this. And normally the response from the kids who'd never seen this before, the typical response would be they would laugh. And they weren't being disrespectful, they weren't being unpleasant. It was just, if you're used to it, you're used to it. If you're not used to it, it just is a really weird thing. Here are grown people standing in a little mini swimming pool, fully dressed in public, getting very, very wet. And I think if we've been in Christian circles for quite a long time, we've just sort of taken it for granted. But actually, it's a little bit weird, isn't it? It's a little bit weird. I don't know if you heard that yesterday, Britain's entry for the Eurovision Song Contest was announced. Did you hear that yesterday? And I'm going to remove the epithet from the title of the song. But it's called What Just Happened? What Just Happened? And I think that sometimes we feel that with this. What just happened? It was amazing, but what on earth was that? Have we got some slides, guys? Thank you so much. We've heard lots of scripture this morning, which has just been fantastic. But could we just, for a couple of minutes, think about this passage? It's Matthew 3, and this is the baptism of Jesus. So John the Baptist is baptizing people, and suddenly Jesus is in front of him, asking to be baptized. So the Christian conviction is Jesus is the creator of the universe, the creator God in flesh, embodied. So if relationship is really, really important for human beings, which of course it is, and we're made in the image of God, then it's odds on, isn't it, that he is a relational God. If we're relational, the chances are he's relational. And that's what Christianity absolutely puts front and center. God is very relational, so relational, he turned up in person on earth in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. And so you've got God himself standing in front of John the Baptist asking to be baptized. And here's what happens. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son with whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. I love John the Baptist's response. He's absolutely right, isn't he? John the Baptist is absolutely right. I need to be baptized by you. I'm the sinner. You are the perfect incarnate God. I need to be baptized by you. What on earth is going on? Just before we think about that, can we ask this question? What is baptism anyway? I was really helped by this a few years ago when I discovered before it was a churchy word, it was a textiles word. It was a clothing's word. So it means to immerse one thing in another so that the first thing takes on the characteristics of the second thing. So on this picture, the white cloth is being immersed in blue dye, and the white cloth takes on the characteristics of the blue dye. So before it was a church thing, it was a textiles thing. And if you don't believe me, believe this boy, who knows a lot more than I do. Carl Laney says, the baptizo word was especially prominent in the dye trade. Cloth would be dipped or immersed into a vat of dye. The material was baptized in dye. When the cloth was removed from the vat of dye, it had a distinct and new appearance. It was identified in a new way. Red cloth would come out of a vat of red dye. Blue cloth would come out of a vat of blue dye. The cloth was identified by its new color. And it looks like at some point, Christians have taken that image and they've gone, fantastic, that's a great image. When we become Christians, what happens is effectively then this, isn't it? It's to immerse ourselves in the Lord Jesus and to start to take on his characteristics. And let's picture that in this incredible visual aid that God has given us. So baptism is an immersion. We get immersed in Jesus and in his spirit, and we start to become like him. We take on his characteristics increasingly. It's amazing, isn't it? Let's ask this question as well. The reason we need to be baptized, I think, is because when we experience a profound spiritual truth, we need to express it in a profound physical way. Does that make sense? When something has happened to us spiritually or in our souls, it's not just our spirits or our souls that are affected, is it? It has a physical impact too, and that goes both ways, doesn't it? I'm married to a woman who had major surgery last year, so she had a major physical intervention, and that didn't just affect her body. It affected Penny's emotions, and it affected her feeling, and it affected just the way she was thinking. It affected all kinds of things, because we're not just bodies, are we? We're also spirits, and we're also souls. So when something, and we'll know this, won't we? Well, when something significant happens to us physically, it affects us in all kinds of other ways as well. And equally, when something impacts us spiritually, it's not just our spirits that will be impacted, it will be all of our lives, all of our lives. And I think that's one reason why God gives us this incredible image of baptism. Go and make disciples, and when this spiritual truth has been experienced, express it physically. Because you're not just a spirit, you're a body as well. So express it physically. And that's what we've seen done so beautifully today. And of course, it's the same deal with communion, isn't it? We have these incredible spiritual truths that Jesus Christ's body was given for us and his blood shed for us. And now he lives in us by his Holy Spirit. So we remember those physically, and we break a piece of bread and we pour some juice and we put it into our bodies. And we reflect on these great spiritual truths physically. God is such a brilliant teacher, and he gives us these fantastic visual aids. So what are the big spiritual truths that have been reflected physically this morning? What are these big spiritual truths? And we've heard them already. Paul explained them beautifully at the start. We've had them through all four of the testimonies. They've been explained so beautifully. But just as I finish, can we just make sure we've got them this morning? What are these spiritual truths that have been so beautifully expressed physically? Well, the first one is this. I used to be dead, and now I'm alive. So here's Paul in Ephesians 2. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That was so clearly expressed in those testimonies, wasn't it? The one who's at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, Paul says, we're by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace, an undeserved act of mercy. It's by grace that you've been saved. That is so clear, isn't it? You used to be dead. You were physically alive. But if you didn't have a relationship with God, and you didn't because of your rebellion against him, and that's true for every human being, you were physically alive, but you were spiritually dead. And now in Christ, as that relationship has been restored, you've been brought alive. It's interesting, isn't it, how obsessed we are with zombie movies and vampire movies. They just keep coming back, don't they, in all kinds of cultural expressions, whether that's movies or TV shows or games. Video games, they just keep coming back. And I suspect that's because we have this deep-rooted, almost subconscious fascination for human beings who are dead but seem to be alive. Because I think in our heart of hearts, we actually know that describes us before we come to Christ. I'm alive, I'm physically alive, but there's something missing. And what's missing is my relationship with my Creator. So the first truth that's been expressed is, I was dead. And now I'm alive. And that's the going under the water and the coming up out of the water thing. And the second and last one is this. I was guilty. And now I'm not guilty. In him, Ephesians 1, the previous chapter, Paul says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Redemption, rescue. The rescue comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus, his death for us, and his death brings forgiveness. So the punishment that each of us deserved, because we have been in rebellion against our Creator, Jesus comes and he takes that for us on the cross. You and me should be the ones hanging on the cross, taking what Jesus took. And he has deliberately and knowingly stepped into our place and taken that punishment for us. And therefore, if the punishment's been paid, that means I am declared not guilty before God. And that's the second bit of imagery in the water, isn't it? It's a cleansing image. I was dirty, and I'm alive. I'm clean. I'm clean in Christ. I was dead, and now I'm alive. Now, lots of us know this well, and we've seen these kinds of things, some of us, hundreds of times. And I loved it when Paul said at the start, this is one of his favourite moments. I always loved baptism services, and I also always loved Christian funerals, because I think there's a lot of similarity in the two of them. This person isn't dead, are they? They're not really dead because they're in Christ and their eternal life had already begun. They've stepped over a low wall. So it's just been fantastic to be here on this day and celebrate this moment with you. Just to be finished, let's just go back to that passage we started with, Matthew 3. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? So John the dirty, John the sinful, John the spiritually broken, John the one who is like any other human being, has been in rebellion against his Creator. John says, hang on, I should be the one in the water and you should be the one baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, it's proper to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And what he does is, Jesus goes somewhere he shouldn't have gone. He goes into the water. There's no reason for him to be in the water. There's no sin for him to repent of. He's not dead. He's in perfect relationship with his Heavenly Father. He's not dirty. He's not sinned at all. Why is Jesus in the water? Because he's taking the place of John. He's stepping in to where John should have been. And in that moment, it's a little foreshadowing of what's going to happen on the cross. It should have been you and me on the cross. And in the same way Jesus stepped into the waters of baptism when he shouldn't have been there and he didn't have to, he allows himself to hang on the cross when he shouldn't have been there and he didn't have to. But he did it for me and he did it for you. Lots of us know this already and we've received it, and it's the core of our lives and it's the heart of all we are. And it's our life now and into eternity, as we've thought about. And these moments are just for us to kind of celebrate, aren't they? And go, yes! Yes, some of us are here because we have friends that we love or neighbours that we love and we've just come to support them in it. And to be honest, we've not been all that clear what's going on and it might be new to us. And if that's you and you'd like to think about this more, we would just love to encourage you to do that as a church. So this church pretty much basically exists to help people who don't yet know Jesus know Jesus. And if this has just whetted your appetite and you want to know a little bit more, Belmont does all kinds of things. It particularly runs a thing called an Alpha course, which is just a great way, no pressure at all, no cost, just to come along and hear this stuff explained in a bit more detail. And anybody here would love to help you with that. So let's just sum it up and I'll finish. I need to be baptized by Jesus. We need to be baptized by Jesus because I've come to believe two profound spiritual truths that I have to express physically to experience fully. Truth number one, I was spiritually dead and I was in rebellion against my Creator. Jesus has raised me from the dead with him and I am now alive in Christ forever. And truth two, what brought me from death to life was the forgiveness of my sins, possible because Jesus took my place on the cross and he paid my penalty for me. In Christ, therefore, I am alive and I am clean. Those are profound spiritual truths that I have now experienced and received, and I'm going to express it physically. And that's what our four brilliant brothers and sisters, our four brilliant sisters have done this morning. I'm going to just stick a prayer up here, and let's just read it before we actually pray it together, okay? Because it might be that there's somebody here this morning who is ready to pray this. It might be that there's somebody here this morning who's seen it and heard it and gone, yeah, I get it. I get it. And I want it. And if that is you this morning, could I just encourage you in a minute, just quietly, just as I read this, to in your own heart, just read it along with me. And if this is old news to you, it's glorious news, isn't it? You pray this with me as well. So I'm going to read it before I pray it, okay? Just so we know it's up there. So here's what I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I believe that when you died on the cross, you were paying the penalty for my rebellion against God, the rebellion that leaves me spiritually dead. Because I believe that's true, I gratefully receive this gift of your life for mine. I believe you when you tell me that I am now not guilty before God, that I am born again spiritually into life with you that will last forever. Thank you for this gift of loving grace, and help me now as I begin to live a life, a new life in you and with you. If you'd like to pray that with me, just in the quiet, I'm going to pray it now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe that when you died on the cross, you were paying the penalty for my rebellion against God, the rebellion that leaves me spiritually dead. And because I believe that's true, I gratefully receive this gift of your life for mine. I believe you when you tell me I am now not guilty before God, and that I am born again spiritually into life with you that will last forever. Thank you for this gift of loving grace, and help me now as I begin to live a new life in you and with you. Amen. It has been lovely to be with you. If you did pray that, can I just really encourage you to tell somebody here that you know that you've prayed that, and they'll be able to help you.